You hear that?
Yeah.
Guess what I'm drinking?
What is it? Some kind of scotch?
No, scotch on... No! Who drinks scotch on a weeknight?
Don't tell me. Tea?
Nah, good guess. That this would be a Caesar.
Oh, wow.
Just for you.
Well, I got four keys lined up in front of me here. These aren't just ordinary keys.
How far in advance do you plan how much beer you're going to drink during the recording?
Well, it's no real planning to it. But yeah, I've been taking it pretty easy like during the weeks. Like, it's rare that I drink during the week now.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, I save it exclusively for the Tumbling Saber.
Just save it for Sith Disturbers. Almost.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Do yourself a favor. Do your liver a favor. Just save it for Sith Disturbers. I need you clean and sober like a priest on Sunday.
Yeah, and Monday. Come Monday. I've had some pretty bad Mondays.
All Mondays are bad. They're here, Corey.
Who's here? The Force Friday stuff?
It's here. It has landed.
No. Where?
Local. Oh, I'll use air quotes on local. Has
like
the
six,
new
six and stuff?
The new Black Series figures.
What?
And I saw a Hera on the pegs.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
Where?
In Laval.
Oh.
Anyway,
you saw this online or you were there?
Because
if you were there, next time I see you, I'm going to punch you.
No, are you kidding me? I'd never look at myself in the mirror if I knew how badly I wanted the 6-inch Hera and walked away. No, I saw it online. It's on Facebook, the Black Series Canada group.
Jesus. I think I know. I'm going to have to go hunting.
Yeah, it's worth popping into any Walmart or Toys R Us that you see at this point. If you're out and about and, you know what? I don't hit that Toys R Us very often. Let me just duck in. It might be worth it. You might find everything. Because people are posting pictures like mad. Ontario, Saskatchewan. I've seen Kylo Ren's ship that people have posted. The Canto Bight police speeder. Everything's on the pegs. It just depends where you are.
Yeah. It's almost been like a domino effect. Like, it's just like people are just like, it started in Panama. And, yeah.
Well, some of it is people can't read. They don't see the do not put on the shelves until September 1st. And other, some store managers are like, I'm not going to just sit on this for 2 weeks in my warehouse. No, sell them. So out they come.
But then I heard rumors also that there were people trying to buy them and they were like, do not sell till September 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some stores would, if they mistakenly put them out on the pegs, they might still catch it and say, can't do it. Which would be a huge bummer, imagine. Imagine you walk into one of those stores and you think you've found the early treasure trove, bring it to the cash and they go, sorry, I can't sell this to you.
Especially if you know you have the cash then and you're not going to have it later.
Well, maybe layaway, maybe.
I heard that that's going to be a thing. I saw some kind of tweet on that recently, too, that there's been signs up. So I think there's a link there to be had.
Well, isn't it time for you to follow up with Walmart to find out what their Force Friday plans are?
Yeah, agreed. They have not gotten back to us. At least they got back to us the once, but it's true. I said I would harass them and... We'll just have to find that link or that tweet on my profile.
You have to go digging, man.
That's fine.
You should have bookmarked that tweet.
That's a good idea. But I'll get them. Don't you worry. But
I'm still expecting them to either give you a stay tuned or we're not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a stay tuned. It's going to be a regular day. Should be in store September 1st, early morning. I highly, highly, highly doubt any local retailers, like even...
No, I'm talking about outside of Quebec, because we already know inside Quebec, it's game over. If you want your stuff, it's September 1st.
The closest to us, I would be thinking, shopping-wise, would be Plattsburgh going into the United States, which is in New York. probably about an hour and a half ride, at least 2 hours. I got Messina, which is, again, maybe an hour and a half. And then there's our parents' place. And then Ottawa is about another 2 hours west of us in Canada. Cornwall. But I can't really see any of those locations doing anything, to be honest.
Maybe Ottawa.
Actually, that's true. Trudeau will be like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, Trudeau's not having any of this.
I'm going to go shopping at midnight.
Yeah, so anyway, just a little note for you there. I thought that would drive you a little bit nuts. I was thinking of not telling you which location had the stuff on the pegs.
Is it a Walmart?
I believe so, yeah.
Maybe you can order it online.
I did not check online to see if they've already listed it online. That would definitely get them a slap on the wrist. I'm sure Hasbro is got 5,000 investigations open. Just the amount of leaks, I just can't wrap my head around this. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's
kind of
odd. Yeah, it's like really people really don't seem to care or understand. I don't know.
Like, you know, something must have fallen through the cracks. I mean, either the boxes, the pallets aren't super well indicated that do not sell this until September 1st. Or I don't know, retailers just don't care. They're saying, you're taking up space in my warehouse, I'm selling it. Or if they've learned that their competitors are selling it, then I'm selling it too. But boy, oh boy.
Maybe, I don't know, someone didn't get the memo, maybe. Or maybe it wasn't clear enough, the fines involved, or who knows. Either way, I wanted to ask you something. Aside from Hera, what can you see yourself picking up on Force Friday, if anything? Like, are you going to go for the 3¾, or are you going to try and pick up some extra 6-inch figures?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's going to be tough. We'll revisit this because I have to take a good look at the whole list of stuff. We'll do that in our first underground Sith Disturbers.
I'm still super proud of this score, though. I found I found Lando. It was probably like a month and a half, 2 months ago now, and he was marked down to like half off already. I was like, something's not right here, but I am snatching this guy up.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good score. That is a pretty good score. Yeah, well, so
I'm definitely hunting that Thrawn and Hera for sure. Those are at the top of my list right now.
Yeah, well, the Luke, the Rey, the Hera, I think those are my top three. Anyway, well, like I said, we'll revisit that in our first Powerful Friends Friday version of Sith Disturbers. So that, you know what that means? This is the last Sith Disturbers for public consumption.
That's true. I'm kind of sad about that, to be honest. But it is what it is. You gotta come get some.
That's it. Said, if you like Sith Disturbers, you know what you need to do. You gotta go to Patreon, look up Tumbling Saber, and throw us a couple shekels every month. What do I do? Trivia?
I don't know. You have any trivia? I got a cool little segment here. We touched on it in the past, but I was kind of wanting to save it. If you want me to go for it, I'll go for it. Unless you have something.
I have some trivia for you.
Ooh, let's do this. Kyle did his homework.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, no.
What was the attack pattern Luke and Dak used?
Delta.
There you go. A nice, easy softball to kick things off.
Go now.
I'll give you another one. I'm looking for one here that's...
Oh, come on. Just
not,
just,
not
just,
such a layup.
Just... Give me the layup, man. Give me the alley-oop.
You want the alley-oop? All right. What was the unique power of the Death Star?
To destroy planets? Using a giant kyber crystal?
There's your layup.
That was no layup. That was no alley-oop either.
All right, let's find one more here. What did Yoda tell Luke about adventure?
A Jedi need not these things.
Crave. He said crave.
It's close.
You lose the point.
E for effort.
All right, you go.
All right, I got something here. I thought some of them were pretty interesting. We've talked about them in the past, but...
Oh, by the way, this pickled bean Caesar, it's quite good.
Yeah, I had one at your place not too long ago. The pickled bean didn't really come through, eh?
Nah, it really doesn't, but I loaded this thing with Tabasco. I may not sleep tonight.
It's okay. Tabasco and lots of Worcestershire? Worcester?
Oh, there you go. You managed a couple more unique pronunciations.
I'm almost done my first beer.
Chug, chug, chug.
All right. So we talked about this in the past. Just connections and Easter eggs within Indiana Jones and Star Wars. One relating to the other, both being Lucasfilm. And this is kind of inspired by not the latest episode of the Star Wars show, but last week's. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I don't think so. No, I was on vacation. So, no, I did not.
All right, so it was pretty interesting. Like, basically, you know how when we were discussing Vader's castle and the writers kind of wanted to say, okay, we want to make our own backstory to this just so we have a firmer grasp of what's going on. And it's not necessarily like canon or whatever, but this is now actually canon. It's I'm not sure if it's in the vehicle guide or something like that. It's in one of the books. So when they were coming up with the story behind the Aravana, the Han ship.
Han's freighter, yeah.
Yeah, so attached to the freighter, there's all these kinds of like cargo containers, right?
This must be like your fantasy ship. You must love this. It's got to be your favorite ship in Star Wars.
The Aravana?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to get a better look at it on the inside, but it is kind of cool. Like, the name itself is pretty alluring.
Well, just because of the industry you work in.
Yeah, but, you know.
Come on, all those shipping containers, all those deals.
Transports. Yeah, it's hard work, man. It's not exactly my dream job, you know. So anyhow, when the writers were coming up with this stuff, there's this cute little Easter egg that I thought it was really interesting. So on the Aravana, there's all these cargo containers attached to one another, but there's one cargo container in particular that Chewie and Han have always had problems with, and they're unable to open this one container. So it's the mystery container. They have no idea what's in it, and they just left it the way it is for all this time, and it's just a mystery. And the numbers on the container are 9906753. I don't know if that rings any kind of bell to you.
Is that the crate?
That's the crate
from Raiders.
The crate from Raiders.
With the Holy Grail inside.
Correct. No, not the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
That was close. That was close, Kyle.
Yeah, that was close.
You're excused. But I thought that was pretty interesting. So it kind of inspired me to dig a little deeper. I know we had talked about in the past, there's all kinds of Easter eggs that most fans will know, most people listening will know. Like Club Obi-Wan in Temple of Doom. You remember that, Kyle?
Yep.
The hieroglyphs in Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's one of R2-D2 and 3PO. As well,
isn't that also Temple of Doom?
No, it's Raiders. When they're in,
really?
Yeah, when they're in the chamber.
Like there's. I'm sure that's Temple.
No, man, it's Raiders when they're going to get the Ark of the Covenant in that well, in the Well of Souls.
Maybe it's in both. I'm sure there's something in Temple of Doom right where, you know, when Indy feels that draft, that breeze coming through the wall with a secret passage.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I'll have to look it up. But there's also another hieroglyph I thought was interesting. I always thought it was just R2 and 3PO, but there's one of Leia feeding R2 the Death Star plans.
I never noticed that one.
I've never seen it either, but it was pretty interesting. Another low-hanging fruit, Cad Bane's hat. Obvious throwback to Han Solo. What else we got?
Cad Bane's hat?
Yeah. It's kind of reminiscent of Han Solo's fedora.
I almost thought that was just like a standard man in black in a typical Western movie.
I don't know. Supposedly it's a throwback to that. And then another thing we talked about also was the Holy Grail in Thrawn's office. He's got it on. He has like four pillars in his office with some of his most prized possessions. One of them is the Holy Grail, and it actually comes in the SDCC exclusive. That the Holy Grail is actually in that, along with some much other cool things.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
All right, so what else we got here? This is one that I never knew before, but you know, in, again, Raiders, when right at the beginning, when he gets that little golden statue, and anyway, he gets busted and he's running for the plane, and he's swimming for the plane, and he gets into it, the serial number on the plane on the side, have you ever heard about that?
Oh, I remember it used, yeah. When you tell me, I'll remember.
It's OB-CPO.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe I won't remember it.
I thought that was pretty interesting because I never noticed it. It's not a direct throwback. Like, you know, it's missing some letters and numbers, I guess. But still, like, it's obviously a reference to. What else we got here? I got a whole bunch here. There's some really interesting ones. The boulder scene, again, in Raiders. The musical theme and the sound effects can be heard in the Rathtar scene in The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Thought that was really cool. Crystal Skull.
Are you burning up all your trivia?
Well, this is all indie Star Wars trivia. So we can burn it up here in the last time.
All right.
What else we got? There was a Nazi tank from Crusade that was on Naboo in The Force, The Phantom Menace.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but I researched this week, but I never saw the footage. But I'm taking it. Supposedly, I'm pretty sure you must know this. Indiana Jones, like a character, it's not Harrison Ford, but a character dressed exactly like Indiana Jones walks to a seat in the Boonta Eve pod race.
Really?
Yep.
They can't help themselves sometimes, eh?
Yeah. Well, it's the same company, and there's a lot of. I love that. Like, the Ark of the Covenant is supposedly an empire, which I never knew. On Cloud City in the incinerator room. It's back there, the crates in the background.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, one more trivia for you. What are they mining in Bespin?
Tabana gas. Bespin.
There you go.
You know how I remember that so well?
Nope.
Rogue Squadron. The video game.
Oh, the video game, yeah.
Level 3.
Was that level 3?
Yep. With the Falcon.
Well, the first level was Tatooine. Was it not?
Yeah, I believe so. No, it's not the third level. You're right. I think it's like more like the fifth or the seventh.
All right, so a couple weeks ago, we were talking about our favorite heroes, favorite protagonists, non-Star Wars. This week, I'm throwing this at you. Your favorite antagonists, non-Star Wars.
That's super interesting because, you know what? I was going to actually ask you the same exact question.
Well,
I'll be damned. But I thought we can kind of draw this out over the weeks. So we kind of separated into some categories in the sense that, you know, I think I'm going to stay in the realm of movies for now. And if I want to go outside of that, comics, whatever, afterward, we can still tackle those subjects afterwards. So I'm sticking with movies.
Yeah, we'll do movies today.
I'm going to exclude Star Wars as well because, I mean, that's just going to dominate the list, right? You got Vader. Vader's number one. Vader, I even Googled this to like get some ideas and Vader's.
You had to Google them? Oh man, I rattled off six favorite villains.
Well, I did too. Like, boom. The guys that I have aren't even really on the lists. I just wanted to see if I was missing anyone. Like, and so I kept it in, again, film and TV. So Vader's off the list. Maul, Emperor, no, not there. So first one I'm going to go with is Biff Tannen.
Yeah.
Hate the guy.
Yeah, he's right at the top of my list. I think he might be my favorite all-time non-Star Wars villain.
And you know, a good thing with a villain is, it's not that he's a... a super villain, like he's going to kill the world or whatever. It's just a villain is someone you hate and you vilify and you want to like just slap them as hard as you can.
Well, he's like how big of a challenge does he present to the hero?
Yeah, he's...
You know, Biff Tannen was twice Marty McFly's size. Like he was just this bulldozer in this little community.
Yeah, and he traveled to the future and everything.
George McFly. Biff Tannen was just the biggest bully ever put on screen.
He set it up. He's like, that old man told me some kid ever showed up asking questions. Remember that?
The Biff Tannen that sticks out to me is...
Yeah, oh, the high school Biff, for sure. That's the one.
Well, no, it's in, I think, part two. And he's leaving to go to the dance. He's just going to school or he's going somewhere. And little children playing in the street with their basketball or something.
Shut up, you old bag.
Use our ball, Dad.
Football.
That ball.
What are you talking about? Is this your ball?
Yeah.
Is this your ball? You want it back?
Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was such a prick. He really got it good, though. Manure. I hate manure.
Yeah. Or that... He's such a creep, too. When he chased Lorraine across the street, that look on his face, that
it's like
super awkward run.
Well, looky what we have here. Hey, nice dress, Lorraine. Although I think you look better wearing nothing at all.
That's why I love Marty in that movie, man. Like, watching that when it came out, being so young. Ah, dude. Just, it showed you the right way. Like, when Marty just, like, grabs him and is like, get your meat hooks off her. Like, he just, like, stands up, you know?
Oh, Biff Tannen. I mean, it sounds stupid to say, because he's like right there with Darth Vader for me as screen villains.
Yeah, someone you love to hate.
All right, who else you got?
I got the Fratellis. Put them in there.
I thought about them, but yeah.
I love them though. Like
as a group, I guess they're funny together. But
the brother shoots the pizza in his face. He's like, I wanted the pepperoni.
Come on, eat my pepperoni.
Want a pepperoni?
Huh? Go on, come on, let's kill each other.
Put that gun away! I said, put that gun away now!
Always take your side, my right? You always like them better.
That's right! Somebody's been here, the cooler's broken.
I'm leaving.
Go check your brother.
Well, it could have been a tremor, man.
I'll show you a tremor.
And they're funny. They're too incompetent for me to ever been too worried about them doing anything.
Well, Mama Fratelli was... She was pretty smart.
She did more damage to her own sons than she did to the kids.
Oh, God. Horrible person. It's like, fall! Drop!
Rock-a-bye, baby!
Oh, she's... Oh, yeah, Aunt Ramsey.
Yeah.
Terrible. Brutal. Mama from the train, indeed.
I love that scene at the beginning, though. ORV! Bullet holes! And you just see her on the beach at the beginning there. She's racing through that race. Like, she just starts smoking everyone. And she's just eating crackers. She's just nibbling on them, you know.
Ah, she's brutal.
Oh, well, you know, she accepted it, man. She was a comedian. It is what it is. And she played the role, man.
Well, she used her gifts well.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, next. I'm listed next. I'm going to go with Agent Smith.
Agent Smith?
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, I like that choice.
I love that. In the last 20 years, they have to be among the best villains.
Well, I do love The Matrix.
Yeah, a little too much, frankly.
It's been a long time, but yeah, it definitely... It won me over at the time.
Smith, oh, I know that.
Smith was the anomaly.
Yeah, he just had so many... He was just so deadpan the whole time.
And he's good. God, what's his name?
Hugh.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I feel like such a wiener now. Love the guy.
Hugh? Not Hugh Jackman.
No. I'm not
I can't even... do my thing.
Yeah, seriously.
Everyone's yelling at us right now. Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, there you go.
God damn
it's been a while.
Hi, my apologies, everybody. That was terrible of us.
Yeah, you should edit that out, Kyle.
I'm not editing anything.
So I can say, fuck, Kyle. Come on, man. All right.
That's on you.
That's okay.
Next favorite villain.
I don't know if it's a favorite villain, but I got to give him a shout out. What's his name? Again. Well, first I'll say it's Alan Rickman as the bad guy in Die Hard, which I should know his name.
It's Hans Gruber.
Yeah, Hans Gruber. Sorry. It didn't come to
Jesus.
Me. But even almost more so, because this is the one you really want to smack in the face, is when he plays the role of the Sheriff of Nottingham back in the early 90s remake of Robin Hood.
Alan Rickman is so good, though.
Oh, man. God bless his soul.
Just that he's too handsome to be the villain like that. I think of that nice, soft, silky, smooth beard.
Bro, have you ever seen Harry Potter? Obviously not. Snape?
No. Nope.
Yeah, you should. You should get on that. That's something you should read to your children or read to Harley around this time of her life.
I'll be honest. I'm not going to do that.
I think ads can attest to that.
I completely believe that it's probably worth doing. I'm just saying I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you're such a wiener. Totally worth doing. You're such a muggle.
Favorite Hans Gruber moment? Is it the moment where he dies?
No. It's when he blows the... the boss's head off, the Japanese boss's head off there. And he just comes back down. He's like, I'm afraid Mr. Takanomi won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's probably a good
Nakatomi. Nakatomi Towers.
Yep. Okay, let's throw a couple more out there before we move on.
How about Sideshow Bob?
I thought we were sticking to movies.
I said TV as well.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
Check the tape. He might have edited out people, but...
No, we'll check the tape.
He said no editing.
So, no, save Sideshow Bob for your TV villains. Move on somewhere else, unless you got nothing left.
I was going to say the Joker, too, almost, because... he's just such a classic villain, but that sticks in the comic book realm too. But on screen, it's been done pretty well. But I haven't seen Suicide Squad, so.
nor have I, but there's enough quality Joker on the big screen to go around. So, yes. We can talk about Joker. Who's of the Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson, and is there another?
Not in film, I don't believe. Well, there's obviously...
we're leaving off Jared Leto.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I really like Jack Nicholson's performance, but, I mean, Heath Ledger was just so good in that performance. I mean,
they're two totally different Jokers, right?
Yeah, really two different genres, two different days. But I still remember seeing that in the theater with you. Which is really interesting. Like, we saw that actually in Nova Scotia. And the next day we were at, I think it was probably Zeller's or Target. Well, you know, the local Walmart at the time. We were out there buying t-shirts the next day. You remember those t-shirts? You had one where it was Batman swinging. It's still like an iconic one that's out there. And I just had the bat symbol.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think I prefer Nicholson. I think it just... yeah, just reminds me of what Joker's supposed to be.
Yeah, a little more fun.
Yeah, just a little more zany. A little more insanity in the mix. I mean, I know Heath Ledger was also batshit crazy.
Well, let's segue into this, man. Let's Did you hear that? I don't know. I saw this drop on Twitter today, and I thought it was pretty interesting that there's going to be a Joker movie.
Joker origin story, yeah. I heard that was coming. Seems like the DCEU can't get its own shit together, so around and around we go. Apparently, now the word is the Matt Reeves Batman movie is not going to be part of the DC cinematic universe. And there's some murkiness to the wording that was used, that they're treating it like a standalone, but it really is part of the DCEU, or nope, it's just completely separate.
Yeah, they got to get someone on the PR, man. Like, if it is just miswording, then, you know, do you get it? They're walking these really delicate grounds right now in the universe they're trying to build, so they got to choose their words a little better. Like, it is a little ambiguous what they said, but it's, you know, again, do you want to get people talking or do you want to get people worried?
Well, we're at the point now, anything they say makes people worry. It's insane how they've just bungled this thing for how many years now? It's at least a decade.
Exactly. They really...
Every step of the way, they've just tripped over themselves. It's ridiculous. It's such a shame. I'm so angry about how they've botched this. Now, I actually enjoy Man of Steel. I was not nearly as critical of Batman versus Superman as most people. And I haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, but based on what other people said about it, I'll probably really enjoy it.
You know, I really like what they tried to do with Man of Steel. Man of Steel, it's a different vein from what Christopher Nolan did, but it kept that...
Christopher Reeves?
No, Christopher Nolan, when he did the Batman series. It's outside that universe, granted, but, you know...
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, Man of Steel rebooted the DC universe, but it was still dark, and it had a good... I loved the Man of Steel, and even Batman vs. Superman. I'll have to see it again, but, you know, I'm still somewhat on the fence. I liked it in the long run, but it just could have been done a lot better. Like, they really, you know, they have a great property on their hands, and they should really, they need a Kathleen Kennedy of sorts, kind of just sort everyone out and have a clear direction as to where they're going.
Well, they were supposed to have that with Zack Snyder, but that didn't quite work out. Jeff Johns. I can't believe Jeff Johns is not having a stronger hand in all this.
I don't even know who Jeff Johns is. So
he's like the king of DC Comics. Him and Jim Lee just own DC Comics. But I think Jeff Johns has stepped away from the comics to do more work on the movie side. And I thought he'd be the guy to set it all straight. Nope. Anyway, that's going to make me too frustrated.
Anyhow, on the comic side, for the most part, from what I hear amongst fandom, is that people are enjoying reading DC a little more these days just because it's a little more cohesive, where Marvel's just been so fragmented over the years that it's so hard to get on board.
For me, it's been the inverse. Like, the Marvel movies, their cinematic universe have just killed it. I loved it. I don't think there's one Marvel movie that I haven't enjoyed thoroughly. On the DC side, a little less so. But when you flip to the comics, I've enjoyed... the Marvel stuff's been okay at best. Like, I'm really struggling at getting into it. Maybe my expectations are too high, and I just get too frustrated when I can't get into it. But the DC stuff, I've found it a lot more accessible. That's starting with the New 52.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm pretty stoked about that. Like, I was actually listening to the Nerd Room recently, and, you know, they were talking about the... it was actually your question about comic books and whatnot.
Yeah, so, the guys did a terrific job answering my question.
Well, I think it was the same for both of us. Both Kyle and I, we had collected, not extensively. I mean, we were kids. We had paper routes, right? Like, we bought kind of what we could, and we still have some really cool comics from those days, like starting from the late 80s to early 90s, even in the mid 80s too, we were buying comics, and they're just trash now, but it was like Muppet Babies and stuff like that. But just, we really got back on board. We always kind of stayed somewhat in the game, up to date. We were always interested.
No way. No, I mean, I won't speak for you, but when I got out of comics in 92, 93, like, I was out. It was over. Done. Like, I know you went a little bit further. You went to like 94, 95 with Amazing Spider-Man, but then...
Well, I went to about the end of high school, so, I mean, probably about... I graduated in 97, 98, like, up and right up until Age of Apocalypse and X-Men. But I was a really light collector again back then. At that point, I had so many other things going on with, like, sports and playing, like, 3-4 sports and all these committees in school and all that crap.
Yeah, no, I was completely out. I remember, I don't think I'll ever forget reading that DC was rebooting its entire universe and Jim Lee was doing a Justice League title. It was like a bolt out of the blue. I'm like, yep, I'm back. I'm in. There was no debating it for me. I was just like, yes, I'm doing this. And I'm going to buy everything that Jim Lee does. I'd miss so much that everybody was saying, oh, Jim Lee's, haha, this is going to be hilarious. He's going to do eight issues and then leave. I was like, no, that's not true. And it was totally true. He may have lasted a bit longer, but
that first arc is really cool. I think that's it. They're loosely basing the movies on that, it looks like.
Well, they also did an animated movie on that.
Oh, the animated is really good. But they've been faltering in that regard lately. I've read some articles recently. I still haven't seen The Killing Joke. And I heard that doesn't really do the movie justice. Or the comic justice, excuse me. And also, there's a new one that just came out recently, Batman and Harley Quinn. And supposedly it's really not good.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been a little bit of Harley Quinn overkill
exactly.
The last few years.
Yeah, exactly. They really botched the character too, supposedly, in this animated they did.
Yeah. All right, circling back to favorite villains before we move on. There's two people here out of the two people on my list, you should get both. You definitely need to get one of them. We've spoken about him a lot. Recently.
Can it be Star Wars related?
Could be.
Well, gee whiz. I mean, this is a Star Wars podcast, so I got to kind of think of that, no? A lot about him lately. Snoke? No. Kylo Ren?
No. Star Wars related.
Dark Helmet?
Yeah.
All right.
Come on.
All right. All right, all right, all right.
Dark Helmet, man. Come on. We don't need to get back into that. If you want to hear us on our take on Dark Helmet, go back a couple months on Sith Disturbers and look for the Spaceballs 30th anniversary celebration that we did.
God, yeah. I miss James.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. Sith Disturbers. Oh. Spaceballs. God, I love that movie too.
It's too much. It's too much. Okay. Lastly. Might be my favorite movie villain of all time, not named Darth Vader or Biff Tannen.
Go for it.
Shooter McGavin.
Ooh, good one. Shooter.
Big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
You'll pay. Listen to what I say. Okay, I just may eat some hay down by the bay.
Shooter McGavin is just... I tear up watching him.
Yeah, he nails that role. I like him as an actor. I don't know his name, but...
Okay, this is going to be like a true confessions moment. If anybody listening has not seen Happy Gilmore, you need to message us on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever, wherever you want to do that, you need to get in touch with us. We need to have a chat. We need to have a heart-to-heart, and we got to make that right. You need Shooter McGavin in your life.
Yeah, it's a really, really silly movie, but God, is it good.
Oh, it's so good. Chubbs, everything out of his mouth in that movie is gold.
But comedy changes over time. It's so funny like that sometimes, you know, like, I still watch that movie and I crack up, and my dad, you know, my dad wouldn't necessarily, or our father wouldn't necessarily find it funny. And now
well, he wouldn't have found it funny 20 years ago, and he probably wouldn't find it funny now.
No, exactly. It's just a different day and age. And that now I watch some comedies that are new, and I'm like, okay, whatever. It's not that funny, you know? Like, things just change, you know? Like, I think the 90s had a really different, unique, special humor.
Was there humor in the 90s?
Seinfeld? Like, come on, man.
Well, yeah.
I find humor really changed in the 90s.
I guess it did. I mean, yeah, things got a little bit ridiculous. Ace Ventura, I think we can thank a lot of 90s humor to Ace Ventura.
Yeah, we saw that in theater with our father, actually. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move ahead here. Remember that poll I ran a few weeks ago about the most annoying thing in the sequel trilogy?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to... Yeah, I couldn't wait to bust your balls.
We got
to
break this down.
Oh, it went according to plan.
More or less. So I asked the old Twitter machine, which of the following would annoy you most over the course of Star Wars Episode 8 and 9 if they actually happened on screen? And I said, vote and retweet, which people did. So we had 380 votes, which is pretty damn respectable.
That's very damn respectable, bro. Props.
Yeah, this thing took... I mean, the whole voting feature on Twitter, I think, is dying a slow death. Like, people just... I think people just killed it.
I haven't seen it. Well, I see it still, but not as often as I did.
Yeah, and it's not nearly as often, and I don't think polls get the same turnouts as maybe they did at the beginning.
Well, it's definitely better than saying like for this, retweet for that.
Oh, yeah. That was the primitive form of Twitter polling. So this thing had 5,312 impressions. This thing made the rounds. Had a bunch, like 57 retweets. Anyway, so the options were Reylo, Snoke as Plagueis, no lightsaber for Luke, and revisiting the Chosen One. And you said Reylo would be the most annoying for you. I think for me, I said revisiting the Chosen One would be most annoying, followed closely by Reylo. And what did James say?
James was all about the Reylo. He was like, I want to see them get it on screen.
Yeah, no, James is down with Reylo. But
I think he was joking, annoying, though. I have to think he was joking.
I don't think he was. I think he said that before.
But he said they're brother and sister already. That was his whole thing.
Well, that's already... kind of, we've crossed that bridge in Star Wars already, and we've decided we're okay with it. Hell, you said if you rebooted Star Wars, you would put that scene back in.
I would.
So then you're definitely okay with Reylo if they're brother and sister.
Yeah, but at this point, like, you know, like they're a relationship. Like, they're like, okay, whatever. We're both Skywalkers. It's cool. We're really going to carry on this lineage.
Yeah, well, anyway. I think James said that also revisiting Chosen One was his most annoying. So anyway, the poll broke down as follows. 10% Snoke is Plagueis. So really, people don't seem to really mind if Snoke turns out to be Plagueis. Like, for the record, I think all four of these options are garbage, and I hope none of them come true. But yeah, this Snoke is Plagueis doesn't bother a whole lot of people. Well, and then...
Yeah, go on.
Well, you want to say something about Snoke as Plagueis?
No, not at all.
Because it's garbage, right?
Garbage. I really want to see Snoke be some dude from the unknown regions. Just some new player.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're going to get.
Like some kind of... He's been watching this whole time.
But I do agree. Of the four, this is the least annoying to me. Of four annoying options. Number three... No lightsaber for Luke, clocking in at 20%.
That's the least annoying?
No, Snoke is least. This is according to the poll.
Okay,
Snoke
okay.
was 10% according to the poll. 20% said no lightsaber for Luke would annoy them the most. Which, boy, that would really, really annoy me. Like, wow. Imagine that. Getting two more Star Wars movies with Luke, and he never lights up a lightsaber.
Not gonna.
Yeah. at the end, I think, you know, 5 years from now, if that turned out to be true, I think that option would skyrocket.
I think that option would just skyrocket. Sure. Oh,
Christ, we got a whole new trilogy and we didn't see with Luke, and he never fought with his lightsaber.
No, I gotta believe the way Mark Hamill definitely brushed up on his swordsmanship, I would hope, in this film.
It's funny, we never heard anything about that.
You gotta keep it under wraps. Ignite the green, you know?
Well, you would have heard at some point. Yeah, you know, people have seen Mark Hamill working out with a prop lightsaber, but nothing.
No, probably, you know, that's probably done. They got their stuff together. I would have to think that it's done in-house, under wraps. You know, we got the behind-the-scenes sizzle reel. We see Rey in the gym, wherever they are. But who knows?
I mean, Mark Hamill's in his mid-60s. Still. And the last time he did this stuff was 30-something years ago. And even then, it wasn't the greatest stuff.
He did all. Well, if you look at some of the behind the scenes stuff, he was into it, and I'm sure he could have.
No doubt.
He was ripped, man, in Empire. If you really look at the footage from Empire, he was pretty ripped.
Yeah, lettuce and cigarettes. That's how you lose weight. Anyway, so no lightsaber for Luke. 20% now. I would say that would be 40% 5 years from now if we never saw him ignite blue or green. Then 23%, revisiting the Chosen One. That's where I hung my hat. I don't want to see it. Although there was some murkiness there. I could have reworded this, because some people said, I would love to see them mention the prophecy. Well, yeah, they can mention it, talk about it, but don't. Like retcon it or be like, oh no, actually, you know what? It wasn't Anakin. It's actually Rey. Like, that's what I don't want to see.
They can make it all work together. That's still the way I see it, Kyle. I'm telling you, Anakin's still the chosen one. Rey is a part of that as the balance. They've all found each other. If it all takes a team, some writing team, but they can make this one cohesive prophecy. And still, in my opinion, the variables of Luke and Leia, all that stuff, it all comes into play, man. Like, put it this way. In the Chosen One prophecy, if there was no Luke, would Vader have fulfilled the prophecy?
Eventually. Somehow.
How? Somehow. It's the wills of the Force that he would have, but I don't see it like that.
King of wills of the Force.
I am, but I think in that sense, it was all meant to be that if Luke didn't do it, it wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? It was one, those two children needed to... One needed to bring balance in one way and build this rebellion, whereas the other needed to go in the direction of the Force. And together, these two variables that are both his seeds, like, they're the ones, the major players in the galaxy, like, calling the shots at this point, and the two major aspects that run things, you know, politics and the Force. And all that coming together, I think they could bring Rey into the fold in that sense, and Kylo, whatever it is. Even Luke with these old books now, like, that can all be, say, like, oh, like, this kind of got lost in translation. And yes, the Chosen One does bring balance, but you're the balance. And I don't know how it can be done, but I think it could be interesting. Although I really don't think they're going to go down that route with the prophecy. But I do think that they can.
I really hope not.
I think they can skirt around.
I think they need to leave it alone.
I think they can skirt around it and still insinuate as to what's going on.
I don't know. I just want them to be, you know, like, pretty honest and clean about it.
I know what you're saying. You don't want to diminish Anakin's contribution and what the first six films were about, and I'm totally on the same page as that. Anakin can maybe come into the fray. Like, I'm praying for this in this film. I saw some recent polls. Like, how badly do we want Hayden Christensen in this film? Or Christian Haydenson, whatever. I'm on three beers now. But either way, how bad do you want to see him in this? Like, that would blow our minds.
I used to want it really badly. Now I'm like, fine. What if he's in it? Great. If not, I'm sure I'll live.
No, I mean, I'll live 100%, and I won't be all that disappointed because I'm sure the film's going to be great, but, I mean, I want to see Force Ghost Anakin. I want to see him still be a part of this when it all comes, like, there's all this light coming to the fore, like, all this information coming to the fore now, and if he's the chosen one, I would think that, you know, he should be among those people there for his son, in the least.
Frankly, I'm so burnt out on this whole thing, the whole chosen one thing. Then like more fuel to the fire with the Bresna bomb a couple weeks ago.
Where, about Kylo being the chosen one?
Ah, oh, Christ! Here we go. Come on, no. I can't do it anymore. Just stop with this chosen one stuff.
Well, balance was a theme, but anyway. I know what you mean, and I don't think they're going to go down that route, but again, I'm interested in it. Like, I love when they brought that up in the prequels. It was something that very much so intrigued me, but they didn't really go down that route all that much. They didn't explain the lore and the history and whatever was behind that, where, like, you know, in one sense, the audience can kind of say, ooh, the Jedi are getting fooled, but they don't know why or how. Like, they could have wrote that story, and they just... It was kind of something, I think Dave Donovan had mentioned this, that it was just kind of seemed thrown in there in a way. Like, and they just swept it under the rug after. And the same thing with Medichlorians. Like, these are all things that, I don't know. Medichlorians, again, were, in my opinion, kind of unnecessary. I like the quantification, but I don't like that they live in living cells and all that, you know?
I don't mind Midichlorians. I think they... Well, we spoke about this not long ago, so I don't want to do it again, but people somehow came to believe that midichlorians were the Force, and they're not. So, yeah, no, forget the midichlorians. Let's move on. The last option, the runaway winner for this poll was Reylo. Nobody wants to see Reylo. 47% would be most pissed off with Reylo. Although...
I was so happy, too. I just want to say that I was watching this poll go around, and I was like, wow, some big numbers on this. So the stats on it are quite solid.
And no, it's a respectable sample, I think.
Yeah. And either way, I was just like, yes. Like, fuck you, Kyle.
I don't want to see Reylo either, by any stretch of the imagination. This is a close number two for me with revisiting The Chosen One.
Well, it's just, I like the margins there, too. You know, it's they're quite extensive.
But also, I'll say Reylo is the one that gave me the most pushback. Like, the people that did write back, for the most part, it was saying, I'm hoping for Reylo.
Oh, of course.
I got a couple people saying, you know, I'll be okay if Luke has no lightsaber. I've got a couple people saying, I would like to see them redo The Chosen One thing, which I don't understand.
I was surprised. I thought that the lightsaber would come in second to Reylo. But it got close at one point. I woke up in the morning at one point, and they were quite close. I think they were within 1% between options 2 and 3.
No, they were close, and it finished, you know, 23 for The Chosen One and 20 for no lightsaber. Those are fairly close. I mean, if you expanded the sample a little bit more, those might switch. But I think, by and large, we have the order. But and definitely Reylo makes people angry the most. But again, I got a lot of people chirping back at me saying that they want Reylo to happen. Okay, I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's creepy, and he's on his best day, he's not good enough for her.
Agreed.
So keep your hands off.
There's no reason for that. No reason for that whatsoever.
No, there really isn't. I mean, she was trying to kill him.
He was trying to kill her, Kyle.
Well, he was, I mean, let's face it. If you're swinging a lightsaber at somebody, you're trying to kill them. But
He wanted
to teach her the ways of the Force. And she was having none of it. And She took a swing at his face. I don't know if she was trying to scar him or if she just missed chopping his head off.
Of course she missed. It's not like she tried to scar him. She was trying to kill him. They were trying to kill each other.
Anyway, so here's two people trying to kill each other. And then we know the setup, again, based on what Bresnikan's told us. Her mindset going into The Last Jedi is all she ever wanted was to be loved and with her family. And here's a guy who has the opportunity to have that, and he murders his father. Like, she just can't get on board with this guy's mentality.
And not only that,
yeah, we're going to ship these two? Come on.
And only that, they don't know each other. Like, there's no real, any kind of inkling toward that at this point. Like,
well, they have said that there's a link between the two.
Yeah, but like on film, there's nothing there saying that there's kind of chemistry or whatever, you know, like if they were going to go down that route, it should have been somewhat insinuated to in the last film.
Well, I think, probably, but I think knowing what we know about Rey's mindset towards Kylo in The Last Jedi, this is not somebody that, she's not going to come around to him suddenly.
No, exactly.
I'll be shocked if she did, and I'll be very disappointed.
Me too. That would really diminish the character if Kylo's like, look, I did a nice thing. And she's all like purring up to him like a kitten. Like, no.
Oh, it would. You know, he got into her head. He violated her that way. No. Those two, that should never be a thing.
Yeah. She thinks he's sticky icky.
if they want to bring them together at some point in order for them to work together.
I could see her respecting him and seeing like the change in him and becoming a good person. And again, loving him platonically and being like, you know, you did it. You're a good person. By the end of it all, that would make sense. But it's not like, I love you. You're a good person. Like, let's make out. That's not a good way. No.
No. All right. So that's the poll. And I'm a little bit surprised at how far that ran away, how far Rayla ran away with it. I expected it to be a little bit closer, but
I was laughing.
Not surprised that it actually. Yeah, I'm not shocked that it actually won the poll.
I was loving it. Retweet.
You got anything else?
We can either do a thing of Star Wars, or I got a little question for you if you want. It's up to you. We can do both quick if you want. Let's do Star Wars quick. All right, you ready?
Oh, God. All right.
Come on. All right. Think now. Let's close your eyes. Focus. Here we go. Blaster.
Porg.
Toy.
Porg.
Gamorrean.
Porg.
Hollow.
Porg.
Darth.
Porg.
I don't know how I feel about those answers, but I'll accept them.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Done?
It's getting late. Yeah, we're done. Let's do something we've never done. Let's give a little preview of episode 90. What we'll be talking about in a couple days. So, what's on the docket so far? Well, we've got a bunch of stuff about the Han Solo movie. Michael Kate Williams is out. Emilia Clarke's character's name has been revealed, maybe. Is Maz Kanata going to be in the Han Solo flick?
That was my call.
That was your call a long time ago.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Why would you steal your own thunder now? I was going to be ready to praise you.
You will again. Show. Don't worry. You will again.
Oh, will I? Oh, we'll
I'll put it in the show notes myself.
Yeah, with your one finger typing.
I'm not that bad.
There's some dialogue from some toys from Snoke. So that's bound to be spoilery. And we got a whole bunch more about the green lit Obi-Wan movie. Apparently green lit. And yeah, a whole lot more is coming. So that's episode 90. That's coming in a couple of days time. Oh, geez, before we sign off, just thanks to everybody who has enjoyed Sith Disturbers over the last year or so. But this is it. This is the last Sith Disturbers. So if you want more...
It's been almost a year, though. What? October? You started? Yeah, anyone who listens, man, honestly, like, thank you very much. And, you know, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But we'd love to hear from you, too. Like, let's hear from people's... Everybody's villains and stuff, man. Get in on this.
Yeah, man. This is now your show, powerful friends. This is us prattling on to you. So you guys get to tell us what you want to talk about. You guys get to throw us your feedback. And it's uncensored. You could say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it's patreon.com/tumblingsaber and $2-$3 a month, whatever you can afford. And that will get you in. That'll make you a powerful friend. And that'll keep you in the good books for Sith Disturbers. And you'll continue on this epic ride. All right, now we're done. Now I'm finished.
All right, go fuck yourself.
Jeez.
I love you, man. Camping Friday.
Now we may actually have a chance to Corey's long-awaited, let's record a podcast by the campfire. That may actually happen. We'll see how that works out. You'll know on Monday or Tuesday. I don't even know anymore. It's late. I'm tired. We're going out. Have yourselves a great weekend, everybody.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Sith Disturbers podcast, brought to you by the Warped Minds at the Tumbling Saber, proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.